people knew months ago he was sick and didn't say anything. His wife even says it's non-COVID related. Why lie? The cover up for AEW? Don't you think she'd be pissed off if AEW actually did something wrong? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. And I put a shit piece of workout on that site, and I got lambasted, and we left. I didn't do anything like this. The day after the man passes away to put something like that out, just, I don't know. And the bad thing is, it's only the people who know about it. Like, there's a whole section of fans and people out there, an overwhelming majority, that have no idea who he is. Or, you know, that something was even written.
Oh.
The ones who do, it's like, I don't know. It just, to me, it just screamed like his usual clickbait stuff. Before he did clickbait before clickbait was around. And
oh. Yeah, that was one of those funny things where even when I was around the Torch, he wasn't one of those guys that I felt like I read all the time or felt like there was some need to read him. Like, it's just like, okay. I mean, I think maybe he can argue his point better than a lot of people, but I'm also not going to lie. I at least had that thought run through my head, or at least something along those lines of what he wrote, because AEW hasn't done a very good job of handling things already in their very short time as a company. And also, when you go, it's a non-COVID related lung issue, I'm like, why'd you just say that? Why didn't you just say a lung issue? Like, you're making me think that you're covering something up by saying that it's non-COVID related.
But see, isn't that kind of a bad way to look at it? Because there's so many people who are dying of it that she just wanted to let you know, no, this was not what it was.
Well, and I think that, and I have no idea, and I'm going to do zero investigation on the situation. So let's be completely clear about this. But yeah, I mean, I guess from all the information that we have currently, you know, if that's what the wife is saying, then that's what the truth is. Like, I'm not going to send an investigative reporter to find out, you know, what really happened. Like, if the information comes out, then it comes out. If it's just, you know, something went wrong, you know, that's fine. I mean, I guess the one interesting thing is that a lot of the stuff with COVID-related has been a heart problem. So that's the other reason why I'm like, okay, that's kind of strange, I guess. Like, it doesn't really, because, like, Journey Brown, a Penn State running back, retired before the season because he had COVID, and they realized that he had a heart issue because of it. And then there's that that kid from Florida State that just collapsed.
Florida.
Okay.
Yeah.
But was it Keontae Johnson, I believe, is his name?
I think so.
But yeah, I mean, and they've also said, oh yeah, well, he had COVID and we're pretty sure he has his heart issue. So like, if they say it's a lung issue, I don't feel like I've seen like other cases, like other than, you know, the practical effects of a flu, basically, you know, a more powerful strain of the flu. You know, that compromises your lungs, I guess, to start with.
Yeah,
so,
and that's why I said when we had it, we were very lucky not to have that.
Yeah.
So our lungs were fine. They said it sounded great. Because I know, I think it's kind of like, and I'm obviously no doctor, so it's probably wrong, but I think it's kind of like AIDS. or HIV, no, yeah, AIDS is oh. you get pneumonia from it. Because your immune system's so run down, you get pneumonia.
Right.
If I remember this right. And yeah. that's why. So it's like with COVID, you have – it seemed like on the onset, people really had a hard time, and it was all lung issues. That's why everyone went on respirators. Then they discovered putting them on a respirator too early is bad. And then,
oh.
Yeah, it's –
okay.
But it's like you have those lung issues. My one friend in Greenville, he was in the hospital for like 2 months, and all of his was lung related, like breathing, all that sort of stuff.
Oh, okay.
But it's like, yeah, I just take it as it's somebody just let you know, like, no, listen, this is not COVID related, and
oh.
we're gonna move on, like the wife thing. And then it's kind of like when you get in a car, like when Randy Savage died, he died of a heart attack. He didn't die from being in a car accident.
Oh.
A car accident was a product of the heart attack. Like that, I guess that's the best example I can use or come up with.
Yeah,
you know. But especially now, I mean, you know, and also, and I guess you can take it either way. She loves Tony Khan and the company for taking care of, really giving her husband a chance to shine, which we can get into. But also, like, taking care of her family during this, probably. So she wanted, like, maybe it's like, hey, this is not COVID, because we know workplaces, people get COVID at workplaces, like the other company. And... you know, they've been at the forefront, and this is all what they, like, you know, what we read or what they say. They've been at the forefront of making sure they're tested over and over again. People still come in contact with it. I mean, what, Lance Archer had to back out? Moxley had to back out because Renee got it?
Oh, right.
It still happens. But
yeah.
they seem to be upfront and open about it where other companies weren't. And in this, when I, this case where I mean other companies, I'm not talking about just WWE. There's other companies in the world.
Oh.
So, but yeah, it's, but it's just a, I don't know. I also go, it's none of your goddamn business.
Oh, well, that's kind of my biggest one. It's just like, yeah, like, there shouldn't ever be a demanding for something like that. Like, if the doctors know, like, they're the ones that treated him. It's not like they're going to put it down. They're not going to look at AEW's statement about the situation and categorize that information a different way.
Yeah.
Like, the hospital, I would imagine, will have the correct statistics. So that's all that matters, like it, whether Tony Khan is covering something up or not, which I don't think he is. Yeah, I, you know, it, again, like, I guess where is the demand to be had? Like, it's not going to spread awareness. I mean, people, if you're not aware at this point, then it's too late at this point.
Yeah, it's like we, everyone knows it exists, right?
It's been like 9 months of this information. Like, I think it's sunk into just about everyone at this juncture.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That part of the article definitely is just like, come on, man. And I did think, I did get a good chuckle when I was just like, yeah, this is kind of basically what got us tossed off the site.
Shit like that. Yes. I made an unedited, which that's the part that bothers me the most, is I posted the wrong one, which just frustrates me to no end. And this is years ago, so I should get over it. But then the idea that, you know, I talked about someone's dog knowing too much. Someone's dog. Right there, if you don't go, oh my god, this is so stupid, which it is. What, I mean, what's the point? It's just ridiculous. But anyways, but I'm not getting on some poor widow whose husband died the day before going, hey, you need to tell us the exact reason why. No, I don't have to tell you shit. And that's another thing. That's like just a general thing. Everyone has to know each other's business. It just drives me crazy. Like, she'll be watching the news, and if it's on, like, once I shut, like, I'm done watching something, later in the day, TMZ is on.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever ever tried seeing those horrible people? All they do is just bum rush people on the street, gossip about them, and then make really awful jokes, which cracks everybody else up in the room. But I'm like, these guys have made millions, or whoever, who knows how much now.
Oh.
By being nothing but, like, just street urchins. I mean, they're just rats. And people watch it. And then we got, there's some new show, as if The View wasn't bad enough. Was it called Talk? Or something? And it's just four chicks just blathering on about stuff. And it's like, why? Who wants to see this garbage? But then it just goes back to, well, everyone wants to know everyone's business. You know, it's like, I'm not sticking up for celebrities, but that's kind of suck. You know, like, if you ever go to the grocery store, man, look at the magazines. They're still getting on Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Or Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every week, there's one of those rags has something in it. And it's there's like, oh my God. Not that you can just avoid reading it, but...
I mean, I just look at the headlines. I mean, it's not like I'm really even reading it, but it's just like, it's always one of those, who's taking this that seriously? Yeah.
What do you, like, you have nothing else going on in your life that you want to read about Beyonce and Jay-Z? Like, you're an idiot.
Oh, right? And it was one of the last ones that Ken and I did, one of the OPAs where, some woman was claiming that the children that Benedict Cumberbatch had with his whatever she is, you know, significant other, married or otherwise, and how they faked the whole pregnancy and everything. And I'm like, who has the time to participate in this, to track down so-called leads? Like, I don't care enough about anyone's children to, unless they're related to me to,
yeah,
someone might actually listen to this some half respectable podcast now. But yeah, like I'm not in dire need of anyone's personal news. No. Like, if they're not related to me, you know, like, I still haven't even, honestly, like, this is how disinterested I'm in personal news. Like, I'm not sure how much, if any, I've talked about on the podcast, but my ex-wife has ceased to be living, and I have no idea what she died from. So, like, the fact that, like, I should not be demanding...
Besides you murdering her, but... You know. Poisoning her stuff does it. Actually, I shouldn't even put that out there. Never mind.
Yeah, well,
did you hear that?
Yeah, I'm not worried at all. But like, I'm not concerned about what did her in. I don't think it was COVID related, but I suppose. I suppose it is eminently possible that it is related somewhat, but I don't care, man. And I don't care what his cause of death is. Like, I'm just completely like, I can't believe that guy went from wrestling a dog collar match to being dead. Like, it's like one of those, I know that whether it's been you and I or Chris and I, like, going, where's Brody Lee been, man? Like, he's just been... he lost to Cody, and he was out of there.
Yeah. What was... Yeah, and every time they BTE, they'd mention him. They'd be like, hey, Mr. Brody, that sort of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And you just kept waiting for him to burst into one of the scenes on Being the Elite. You're just waiting for it. And there's nothing. And it just kept being nothing. And then there was a story came out. I didn't know about this until... unfortunately, this weekend, that his son and wife were at the TV tapings where Omega won the title.
Uh-huh.
And then his son, Brody, had a match with Kenny Omega and beat Kenny Omega. And they announced him as the new AEW champion and all that stuff. But, I mean, And this is, I guess it was the overall story of it. It's just speculation, but Brody wasn't there. It was just the wife and kid.
Oh.
So, yeah. So it's like, that's, yeah. So it sounded like that was a gesture or like a goodwill thing, you know? Like, hey, maybe this will, I don't know, some people believe in that stuff, like the power of positivity. Not a New Day thing, obviously, but just you do positive gestures like this, and that energy gets in the atmosphere, and you can absorb it, and it can help you. That sort of thing.
Right.
I don't know. Or maybe he just wanted to see his son wrestle once, if he could. And that's the strangest thing about the whole Brody Lee thing. What? Like,
oh.
I was just checking my phone Saturday. And look at Instagram or something. And Braun Strowman posted a photo of the Wyatt family, all four of them. And he goes, I'll miss you forever, brother. I love you. I'm like, what happened to Bray? That was my first, honestly, my first thought was like, oh no, what happened? So went to Twitter or something. And I was like, are you fucking kidding? Where's he been? And now, I guess, Dave Meltzer said he knew 2 months ago that, or he, I'm not going to say he knew 2 months ago, but he knew that 2 months ago after that match with Cody, which is the weirdest thing, that it was lived out right in front of us, but no one knew. It was after the match with Cody, he was supposed to take time off. Then he was doing a workout on his Peloton, and he had to stop because he's like, it was just too hard. That's it. It's the last time anyone talked to him. If you watch his interview with Aubrey and Tony Schiavone on AEW Unrestricted,
uh-huh.
or listen to it, he actually mentions on that podcast that was the day he did that Peloton workout. Because it was so tough, I just had to stop. And then he just disappears. And we, unfortunately, never get to see him again. That's just crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have not heard that timeline, I guess. That's,
Yeah. It was shortly after that, supposedly. I keep saying supposedly because no one knows for sure yet that he went to the hospital and he was in ICU at the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville. And that's where he stayed. I guess that's where he stayed. I don't know. And then he was gone. He's younger than we are.
Yeah, that's... There are ones when... There have been some people that have been younger than us that have passed. I'm trying to think of the Japanese wrestler that committed suicide. Hana Kimura, I believe is her name.
Yeah.
And, you know, there have been some other ones that have been kind of tough. But, yeah, there really was something about this one that just hit differently for me. It could have been, like you were saying, like, I wasn't really paying attention. I think we were either we might have been doing our Schitt's Creek marathon when I got a Twitter alert from site friend Dan Keister there talking. He's like, oh, I specifically flew to Cleveland to see him in the main event against Kevin Nash. You know, and I looked back and I did retweet or repost those shows that Dan and I talked about Resolution 4 back in 2011.
Yeah.
And, I guess, there's always that, if I covered someone during that time frame, I always feel like I'm extra connected to them for, you know, whatever reasons. And it's just like, I went from watching that guy with a couple hundred people around me, to him being in an arena full of people and, people being desperate for him to get out of the WWE because they were holding him, you know, like Yeah, it's not like he didn't get any opportunity in the WWE, but it always felt like he wasn't completely being used, which was strange. You know, I guess that was always strange with him being a big man, too. Like, the fact that it never got put together is strange, but also, we talked about it before hitting record about how much they've screwed up Roman Reigns until recently.
Yeah.
You know, like, the WWE just hasn't done a terribly good job with a lot of people recently. And no. Brody Lee / Harper is just kind of another one on a very long list. Even if, yeah, I mean, people were rightly remembering some of the great matches that him and Rowan had with the Usos, New Day. They were part of that tag team revival, like, era of, you know, a year and a half or whatever it was, where you could pretty much turn on a tag team match and there was a great combination going at it.
Yeah. That was the thing, and you nailed it. Like, I remember telling you, like, remember when Gargano finally won the NXT championship? I actually had, like, tears in my eyes, like, oh my god, finally. And yes, I know it's the NXT championship, it was the WWE championship, right? But, again, like, I blame you for all this, because I was just fine not knowing who these people were, but you're like, hey, this is Pro Wrestling Ohio, and I actually got it here somehow. That's the weirdest thing, is I got Pro Wrestling Ohio in South Carolina. That was strange. So, yeah. Anyways, got it. And Gargano was one. I remember then you went to the show, and then I remember finally getting to see that show, and then they would do their tapings and with, like, Whiskey Barrel Saloon or something in Ravenna. Or, no, Streetsboro. And it was just some dumpy bar. You know, it's PWO. Didn't have a whole lot of big crowds. But Aaron Bauer, which I didn't see him say anything. I didn't look for everyone's comments, but, and if no one says, if you don't say anything, there's nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah.
Everyone handles things their own way. So to not say something is absolutely fine. But it was right after Resolution, I think. Because it was him and, who did he team with in that?
Marion Fontaine.
That's right, who's unfortunately disappeared. But it was him, Marion Fontaine, versus Kevin Nash and somebody else.
Aaron Draven.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah, if I hadn't looked it up, because I ran into Fontaine. He works for Homage as one of their designers.
Oh, cool.
But he still does do, weekend, wrestling gigs. But I ran into him and Gregory Iron down at the NXT show here before things started getting shut down for mass gatherings.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Back at the beginning of March. So yeah, he's, and I've seen Fontaine wrestle a couple of times at New Ohio Wrestling. I would imagine because he's in the area, it makes it an easy gig for him to go to. But yeah, that the main event was those two. There was Dan and I had gone to a meet and greet with Kevin Nash the night prior to Resolution 4. And oh my gosh, I had a camera phone back then. And that photo is grainy as all shit. That, because they had a confrontation at the bar, because Aaron Maguire came in wearing his Bobby Heenan-like neck brace. Because I think he'd been powerbombed by Kevin Nash at some point, possibly. Because I didn't actually look up the reviews. I should have. But anyway, yeah, he comes in, and yeah, I remember Brody Lee following him and him and Nash having a showdown at the bar. Nothing ended up happening, of course, but you know, it was just a fun way to like really kind of get an extra personal interaction in there, and really kind of it did make for a memorable moment. And you know, that's one of those things that it does kind of make this thing a little bit harder when you you know, when you've done something like that. Yeah. And been involved with a guy for that amount of time. Like, it was, I was just kind of, I hadn't thought about doing those reviews, but I'm like, oh my God, it was 2011 when this happened. Like, I can't believe it's been, you know, 9 years. And I mean, I know that he was wrestling prior to that.
See, I didn't look at exact timelines, but it's like, yeah, around then, he was still fairly new, if I remember right.
But it's like, yeah, I think
I just remember watching him, like, maybe it was because PWO, like, Mary Fontaine was great. I loved his character, the guy was just great, but it just, you knew you're never going to see him on the big stage. I mean, unfortunately, just his build and all that wasn't going to work, unless he was a manager, which would have been fine. But then, fucking Big Rig comes out of nowhere. And I'm like, who is this? I mean, that's when he still had, his hair was thicker back then. The beard wasn't quite as long, but he looked, he was giant first off. But then I think he was carrying, or not carrying, he was wearing like one of these shirts that says, guns don't kill people, I kill people.
Yeah.
And the baggy jeans. And he just, it was during the taping after, he obliterated somebody. And then his storyline got suspended.
Oh, yeah.
So you never got to see him again. And I always remembered that, like, wow. Because it legit looked like he destroyed, like, whoever it was, I can't remember. It looked like he killed him. And I'm like, this guy is incredible. And then he shows up, and like, oh, cool. He signed with NXT. So, you know, signed with WWE, I should say.
Oh, Luke Harper,
not a horrible name. That's actually one of their better names. Like, it fit the character.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I mean, honestly, I kept calling him Future World Champion because that's how much I thought of that guy. And this is also someone I never met. So, I don't know. But it was just like, you saw it. And in that idiotic Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton match, we all said that should have been a three-way. Because he was ridiculously over with the crowd heading into WrestleMania. And he just disappeared.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating. He should have been... It's like, I say this fondly. I get mad because, like, I get mad fondly, if that's even a real thing. Because he should have been bigger. They broke him out, they broke up the Wyatts too early. We all know that.
Oh, right.
But, like, they never, like, him and Rowan never won the tag titles. I'm sorry, when they were part of the Wyatt family.
Oh.
They never won the tag titles. How the hell did they not win?
That, because they just had the misfortune, but it would have helped everyone involved if they had done, like, almost a rock, paper, scissors kind of situation. Where, you know, the Usos can beat New Day. New Day can beat the Wyatt family. But the Wyatt family can beat the Usos. So that's like some weird vicious cycle of the tag team championships.
Yeah.
But they ended up just putting over both the Usos and New Day. And it left them in a terrible spot that... Even when they did end up capturing them as, I was just going to call them the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah.
That it rang a little hollow to me. Like, it just felt like, hey, we're giving these to you guys about 3 years too late.
Yeah. It's like, and I don't want to get into like a whole WWE thing, but it's like,
oh,
that's when you know the fans know you missed the boat on somebody. So The funniest thing is, so I was watching like a best of Brody Lee on from WWE, which is hilariously lacking. Like they had a whole match with him and Randy Orton versus Bray and Eric Rowan. And most of it was Randy Orton doing stuff. Like, this is honestly what you thought was good, huh? Okay. But then he was in the ring, people were cheering. And then they had the one where I was in person for at Clash of Champions here in Charlotte, when Rowan was feuding with Roman Reigns. And I will say, just from being in person, that place was loud when it was Luke Harper. When people started to realize who it was, that place was cheering. And then you watch it on TV, and it's muted because of whatever, for whatever reason, they mute the crowds a lot. But you could still hear people cheering. And it's like, this is a guy that wasn't on TV for 6 months or something like that. And yeah, he shows up and everyone starts cheering. It had nothing to do with Roman Reigns, because they didn't give a goddamn Eric Rowan won. But they were happy that Harper was back. And I'm not bashing on Eric Rowan. This is not a means of, you know, but it's like, you know.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be Roman's time, but people are cheering for Luke Harper. Like, the fans always, like, when they were bad guys, people didn't like him. But when they started doing the weird interspersed, like, this guy's fighting with this, blah, blah, all over the place, they chose Luke Harper over Randy Orton. Think about that. Randy Orton, I don't know, a 10-year veteran at that point, or even more probably?
Probably.
That's supposed to be the baby face in this? And the fans chose a guy that barely talks. But he was fucking awesome. So they're like, no, we want this guy instead. And that was a few weeks after cheering Bray Wyatt winning the WWE title at Elimination Chamber. This is how over the guy was, and that's how much he did. Like, to this day, I will never understand why Vince McMahon didn't see a big guy that could talk. But I guess because he couldn't do a southern accent. That's what everyone keeps saying. He wanted Luke Harper to have a southern accent. He couldn't do it. Yeah. If that's honestly, again, I don't want to turn this into a WWE thing. If that's honestly why you're down on somebody, your genius moniker is automatically revoked. Because the genius would go, okay, we'll move on to the next thing. You know?
Yeah. Go with a hick Canadian accent. Have him do the whole A thing all the time. There's a way to pull it off, I'm sure.
Well, most of his promos were when he used to yell, yeah, 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 in the ring, which was always great. Just great. But yeah, it's just never understood. And it was like, you know, he finally gets out of it, goes to AEW, and it's like, this is what everyone knew he was capable of doing.
Oh.
I mean, and then to have it get cut short like that is just abysmal. But I mean, like that, what was the one that always is going to stick out? Like, if you watch Being the Elite, there's a lot of good stuff on there with the Dark Order.
Oh, yeah.
But then the one, it was... Yeah. So he was champion. Cody came back. And they were all brawling. And when he went back, pushed the announcer out of the way, grabbed the mic, and just went crazy. And he goes, you should worry more about your thirst trap wife posting pictures on Instagram. I fucking lost it. I'm like, wait a minute. That's great. Because it goes to the Baron Corbin thing we were talking about. I think Corbin has that sort of stuff in him, but they're never going to allow him because he has to read somebody else's words or words he doesn't believe in. So when you finally get a guy that can just go and do stuff, I mean, I don't know. There's an anger that he's gone, and there's an anger that we didn't get, you know, what we all knew he could do, you know?
Oh, agreed.
So, yeah, it's just... I don't know. It's like, you know, 2020 obviously hasn't been a great year. Now, I know we were talking, our situations were a little different, but we came out of this relatively unscathed, you know? If you think about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. I'm headed into next year feeling a lot better than I did March of this year.
Right. I mean, fortunately, you didn't get sick. I did. We got over it. But I can still tell we're both kind of recovering still. Uh-huh. And we're being extra cautious just because of what we talked about with lung, heart issues, all that sort of stuff. We're not going to push it, you know?
Yeah.
We're a month away. We're a month out from being sick. Not even a month. Yeah, it'll be about a month this week of total recovery. Now, it's air quotes. I just can't see. But
yeah.
And it's like, and I'm not joking with this. The Mandalorian came out, and that last episode was so incredible. I'm like, oh my god, things are gonna get better. Like, we finally have Star Wars being as badass and great as we remember as a kid. Whether it was or not is, you know, circumstantial. But what we think it was is how that Mandalorian season ends. And then I can't remember what the first, it's like the threes thing, which is not true, but
oh,
it's like something happened, don't remember. And then we saw Wonder Woman. I utter disappointment, dude. That movie stinks. And it wasn't just me. Like, we all watched it at my parents' place, and everyone goes, that wasn't very good. I'm like, no, it was not. And then the next day, so it's like, all right, so you're on that high from Mandalorian, like, and again, it's, you know, just idiotic thinking, really. But it's like, things are going to get better here. We got a vaccine coming. Now we just got to get most dunderheads to understand that a vaccine wasn't created in 2 days after the election, that it was being worked on for years. Well, this is the 19th version of it. Yes. And they can, you know, use that prior research to go for it. Never mind. I always love how people, and I didn't want to do this, but I always love how people, oh, I believe in science. Science is great, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know why it's helped him, this and this. And all of a sudden, science comes out with something else. Like, no, I don't trust science. What? Anyways.
Yeah.
But no, so it was like everything's going good. And then this, like, I know we still got a few days left, but this is a devastating way to end. Because I was talking to Elise, we haven't had a wrestler this young pass away in a while.
Oh.
Outside of, there was the one poor Mexican wrestler that Ray, you know, when he did his move, he passed away from that.
Oh, yeah.
That was years ago now. I'm trying to think of somebody else that has, and that's good. I mean, it's a good thing we can't, but it's a terrible thing that, you know, it's a weird thing to say, but, like, he's the guy that's gone? Like, that's why there's no karma. There's no such thing. The good ones always go. There are plenty of bad fucking people around. Still around. Still doing bad things. Nothing bad happens to them. Well, they're going to get theirs. Well, how about they get theirs a little bit quicker then? So.
And the other thing that's just been, I feel like it's taken on a different vibe than some of the other wrestler deaths is, like, Shad Gaspar died earlier this year.
Thank you.
He helped save his son.
Right.
Unfortunately, but, you know, I don't think it's because he was a poor wrestler, you know, and he wasn't in the spotlight as much as Luke Harper.
Yeah.
And there are certainly a lot of well wishes sent out around that time, but man, this one just really, there just seemed to be a lot of diverse names really talking about how much of an impact he had on their career. It feels like Big E, Cesaro, and Braun Strowman, and Bray Wyatt, of course, are kind of the biggest voices leading the charge about how good of a guy he was. Like, you were talking about, you know, only the good die young kind of situation, and just like everyone, the outpouring of emotion just really seems to reflect how good of a guy he was, and that's, and well, yeah, and that isn't meant to. It obviously Shad was doing something very heroic,
right?
You know, when his life was cut short also, but I don't, you know, maybe it is just because Harper's been in the mainstream of wrestling that it kind of has a little different vibe and connectivity to it. But yeah, it's, oh man. Yeah. Just when, like you said, just when you thought you'd cleared the hurdles, it was just like, oh man, that's a real bummer. Like, I mean, I've just been, this is one where there aren't that many deaths where I'm like days later, where I'm still just kind of contemplating it. And this is one where, like, not that I'm thinking about it all day or anything, but it's definitely popped in my head every day is, you know, is something.
I think that's what makes, like, I know you're like, obviously we're not minimizing Shad, because dude, that's it's incredible. And I know it's like, you know, we're not fathers. I mean, I have a stepson, but I've taken on that role. And I love the kid to death, you know?
Yeah.
But that came when I was in my 30s. You know, and even still, it took a long time to figure it out. I mean, you live in a state of arrested development for a long time. It's hard to break, you know? So, when you hear a story about a dad in the water, you know, telling somebody else to get my son first, like the selflessness of that is just incomprehensible to me.
Oh.
I guess. I don't know. I know we're both married, so probably do the same with our wives, but it's just like, wow. And to never have to be in that situation is A-okay with me, because, I mean, it's terrible. Anyways.
Yeah.
So I think Shad's was tragic in the fact that Shad was tragic, but it also had that, like, that hope, if you will, that there are those good of people, you know?
Oh.
That his son was able to keep living because he, in a sense, sacrificed himself so that he could keep going. And that's beautiful. It really is.
Yeah.
And then also, he drowned. You know what I mean?
Oh.
It wasn't some strange circumstance or secret circumstance, or just, I can't think of the right word right now, but that sort of thing. So you're like, oh, he was heroic and he drowned. And we hear about people drowning. You know, we hear about people dying in car accidents where you can get your head around it a little bit more. So go over to Brody Lee, Luke Harper, John Stauber, I believe is his name.
Huber.
Huber, thank you.
Yeah.
You have this situation where you see a guy finally being allowed to show his potential or show his talent. Has a match, which was good. And the next thing we know, 2 months later, he's gone. You know? Like, what? Because even in like the case of Shad, that he was doing work, like video game work, he was a stand-in, like he was still active.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
So, but Brody Lee goes, has a workout apparently, doesn't go well, and he's in ICU. Like, what? This is the part that's the hardest to wrap around. Like, he looked incredible. Like, that was probably the best shape we've seen him in.
Oh, I
mean, you know, the Bruiser Brody comparisons were flying on that one because he was huge.
Yeah, and that was the one thing that I know that Big E is kind of Big E was, he's like, oh, I gave him a hard time about his Peloton, but that boy was in the best shape of his life. And it's just like, you just kind of hear stuff like that where that guy was working that hard to slim down and to be in better personal shape, and then, yeah, just something hard to notice, if nothing else, pops up and, you know, and kills you. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of hard to wrap your head around.
I mean, it's honestly, irony is not the right word, but it'd be like someone losing an incredible amount of weight and then dying in a car accident. Like, I worked all that. So in this, like, and that's the thing, and it goes back, like, you know, man, the hardest part has been reading these tributes, which I just finally stopped doing for a while, because it's like, why are you just depressing yourself? But at the same time, there's, like, such a huge glimmer of, not hope, but there's a happiness in them. You read some of them, and you're like, okay, they're obviously devastated. But every single one of them says the exact same, like, no matter who it is, says, awesome father. That's always the first one.
Oh.
Great father, great husband, great wrestler. Wrestler's always third. So it's like the human being there was far superior to the wrestler we saw on TV. And I think that's a happy thing to take out. Like, look at all the people. It's crazy. And, like, no one has a bad word to say about him. Not a single thing. The worst is somebody possibly saying, well, I didn't know him that well, but whenever I met him, he was a great guy. Like, okay. You know, I mean, and I do not believe for a second it's just people being nice. Because, again, no. You don't have to say anything. You can just say, like, Vince McMahon's tweet, which is not Vince McMahon tweeting, by the way. I don't believe that for a second. That he's like, sorry to hear about passing, whatever. And it's like, oh, it's very nice, very businesslike. That's it. So it's like, as sad as it is, there's that to take away from it. If you don't, you know, I don't know. It just sucks.
Yeah. Well, and I kind of knew that it would. Obviously take over a show.
Oh, I had no intention to talk about anything else. So
yeah, this was one that, A, it helped to have the time.
Yeah.
Since both of us are off this week, be able to do this bit, and it's a tough one, man.
I'll be very curious how it goes.
It's a really tough one.
I'm very curious how WWE is going to handle it tonight. AEW obviously is going to do something. NXT, I would gather, because it's Hunter. It should be all over that or whatever. And then we got SmackDown, but his reach was so far to, like, almost everyone. He was in Ring of Honor for a little bit.
There.
So. And I don't know. I'm just waiting. It's been. I shouldn't do this. Shaheed always gets on me about this, but it's like, I'm just waiting for the bad stuff. Not about him, but just to see the shitheads that come out about it, like, start saying stuff. Well, you know, people say, just go away. You know? That's not necessary.
Right.
But you don't have to watch it. That's the one thing I always. Or read it. That's what I always try to do. So. But yeah, man. It's. Just crazy, and I know we still got a few days, but it's a down way to end a down year.
Yep. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Well, I guess it's plug time, I suppose, because I'm kind of tapped out on this one.
That's fine, dude.
At DeFrango11, at Granny Maze, at Stunt Grannies, the brand. Rate and review us if you like this. Unfortunately, tragic podcast that we had to record near the end of the year here. See you. We will leave it with that. And yeah.